Hallelujah. Okay, fasten your seatbelts. We're about to take off. And you bring your Bibles, open your Bibles, and open your hearts. Get ready to receive the Word of God.
You ready to go?
Father, I thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we've just prepared notes. It's just the letter, it's just writings. But Father, the Spirit of the Word, I pray that you yourself will ignite into the hearts of your people this morning. Thank you, God, that, Father, we'll be changed and transformed people, Father. We'll be people of wisdom, that we not only have knowledge and understanding, but, Father, we have wisdom because we apply your word, Lord, to our lives. And that makes it, that's what you call wisdom. Father, I pray that this church, oh God, will be a church of people walking in wisdom. We thank you for your wonderful presence, and we give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the final message on the series of discipline that we've been bringing to the church, because I believe that we must bring it from foundation up, fundamentals that we must never forget. Most of us get saved and get caught up with everything and say, okay, we're ready to go to heaven. But we keep teaching people how to get to heaven, but we can't teach them how to live in the kingdom on planet Earth. When you and I are still breathing and living, that's the most important part of our Christian life, is to walk according to what God has purposed for us. I said always, and I kept saying this, the world is hungry for changed people, really changed people, not those on and off people that one day they're on and the next day they're off. And I pray that if you got that kind of button in your life, the on-off button, you rip into that place and rip it out, that on-off button. And just keep the on button on. Hallelujah. So that when you're on for Christ, you're on for Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, my first scripture is actually in Luke chapter 9, verse 44-46. So if you turn with me there, I'll just introduce my sermons this morning. Hallelujah. I was talking about the discipline of the Spirit and the inward discipline of prayer, fasting, meditation, studying the Word of God, and then the outward discipline of the Spirit, which is what? Submission, obedience, and today I'm going to talk about service. And everybody said, amen, hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, wow, this is going to be good. This is great. That's service. What you've seen on the screen today, that's service. Hallelujah. The discipline of the Spirit and the title of service today. Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him, or follow me, the Bible says. That's true submission, my friends. So as the cross is the sign of submission, so the towel and the basin must be the sign of service. Hallelujah. That's in our lives. When Jesus gathered his disciples at the Last Supper, they were having trouble deciding who was the greatest. Sounds like us sometimes, amen? Luke chapter 9, verse 46. An argument started amongst the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, hallelujah, I like Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a child. Nathaniel, come. Come over here. He's going to help me preach. Hallelujah. Jesus took a child. Anybody know what a child looks like? Right here. Then he said to them, whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For it is the one who is least amongst you all who is the greatest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Daniel. Did you like that? That was easy. Sounds like a lot of us Christians. Whenever there is an argument over trouble or trouble over who is the greatest, there's always going to be an argument about who is the least. There's always going to be, whenever we talk about greatness, every time there's an argument about greatness, then there's always going to be an argument about who is the least. Hallelujah. As they gathered at the Passover feast, the disciples were keenly aware that someone needed to wash others' feet. Do you imagine that? There's Sunday school today? No, it's not. I'm seeing the kids getting so restless. I'm thinking, oh, did I miss something here? I got to check every time. They give you the eyes. They were arguing about who's the greatest. As they gathered at the Passover feast, the disciples were keenly aware that someone needed to wash others' feet. They were sitting there waiting for somebody to wash their feet. Let me just explain to you why they wash feet during the time of Jesus. Due to the climate in the countries in the Mediterranean places, there's so many dust and dirt and dry. And so it's a common a knowledge or a common custom for foot washing. Foot washing is like eating and drinking or sleeping, because it is an essential duty to wash your feet. And it's also the lowliest duty of a slave. Somebody who's pretty low. And in the times of the Romans, normally the women used to do that, wash people's feet. And so the disciples were saying, okay, we're waiting for somebody to wash our feet today. So the disciples were expecting someone to wash their feet. The problem was that the only people who wash others' feet were the least. And they're all sitting there waiting for the least of those people to come and wash their feet. Hallelujah. Now watch Jesus. I like Jesus. Jesus is radical. Then Jesus took a towel and a basin, and from that one act, redefined greatness. One act, when he took the towel and he wrapped it around his waist, took a bowl of water and started washing the disciples' feet. In John chapter 13, verse 4, so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Verse 12, and when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Then he said, do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so. Hallelujah. For that is what I am. But now that I, the Lord, and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Hallelujah. Now that you know these things, he says, you will be blessed if you, what? Do them. Application. He didn't just say, now that you know those things, you'll be blessed. He says, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Hallelujah. Jesus is an amazing teacher. No wonder the people said that these teachings were so hard, and many had left him. Having lived out the servanthood before them, he called them to the way of service. Everybody says service. Turn to your neighbor, say service. Hallelujah. Verse 14, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should what? Wash one another's feet. In some ways, we would prefer to hear Jesus call. We like this call. Pick up your cross. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Jesus, I'm doing that right now. I'm picking up my cross. I've denied myself and I'm following you. And then he says, now wash their feet. And we struggle against that. Hallelujah. We struggle against obedience. We struggle against submission. And we struggle against being a servant. We like that. I'm following you, Jesus. Oh, I'm on fire for God right now. Hallelujah. I want to go out and preach and save the world. Yet, he says, go wash the feet. Hallelujah. He says, if you want to be greatest in the kingdom of God, wash some feet. Learn to be a servant and wash some feet, he says. Hallelujah. We miss the small things. We like the big deal things. But we can't deal with the small deal things. And Jesus is a small deal kind of a person. Because he knows that when he starts from the bottom, the foundation is strong when you build it up from there. We want to go and flow in the prophetic and flow in powerful preaching and flow in all this other, building up churches and all that stuff. We cannot wash feet. We cannot serve. Hallelujah. Friends, this is a radical self-denial teachings of Jesus. No wonder people say his teachings were hard and many left. But Jesus said, when he was speaking about the kingdom of God, he said, repent. And I keep saying that, repent. Turn your mindset around, because the kingdom of God doesn't think like how you used to think. You got to think differently when you're inside the kingdom of God. And when you do that, it doesn't become hard anymore. The teachings are not hard because there's so much joy when it comes to you submitting, walking in obedience and washing feet and service. There's so much joy and freedom in that. There is great liberty in the discipline of service. Service enables us to say no to the world's ideas of promotion and leadership. The world goes after leadership in a totally different way the kingdom of God does. Hallelujah. Service enables us to say, no, I'm going to be a servant first before I become a great person in the kingdom of God. It abolishes our desire for this pecking order system that we have in this world. Pecking order is like a chicken poultry farm where chickens just pack in their own little order so that they don't offend anybody. Everybody knows where they are. And serving, just make sure they don't offend anybody. That's what it's called. When I look at the description of pecking order, it's like it is the basic pattern of social organization within a flock or poultry in which chicken packs another lower in the scale without fear of retaliation and submits to pecking by one of the higher rank. Sometimes we in church become like a chicken farm. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, let's sit up straight and say, man, that's history. That's true. That's very true. Hallelujah. What? You shall hear the truth, and the truth shall what? Sets you free. Hallelujah. And I tell you before, I don't preach messages to tickle ears. I preach a message to build your spirit up, to build you up as kingdom of God people. Hallelujah. This spirit has infiltrated the church, and the Christians have become like chickens. In a chicken pen, there is no peace until somebody knows there's the boss. When the chickens know that there is a boss inside this poultry, this little farm, then everything is fine. This is not what Jesus was teaching. A group of people cannot come together until there is a sign of a boss somewhere. I see it so easily in such ways, the way people sit in the church or do, how they walk, how they talk to each other, how they like to talk and not listen to other people. And how they like to talk when people are talking, they're the ones that are talking. I see it in people who stands back when there is a call for service or duty in church, depending on the work. Hallelujah. This is true of what's happening in churches today. Everybody's looking for position. Everybody's finding their position. And among Jesus and the disciples, the leadership and the authority are so easily seen. The point is not that we are to do away with all the sense of leadership or authority. Jesus never taught that anyone had equal authority. As a matter of fact, he had a great deal to say about genuine spiritual authority. Hallelujah. We must clearly understand the radical nature of Jesus' teaching in the scripture. We must read. He was reversing the pecking order. He was what? Abolishing the whole thing. That's Jesus. Genuine spiritual authority. The authority of which he spoke was not the authority to manipulate and control people, as some of us like to do. It was an authority of function and not of status. And that's where a lot of ministries fail, because people don't understand authority and status. They have not differentiated between those two words. Hallelujah, the two principles. And friends, that is why many ministries have failed. Because everybody wants to be the boss. Everybody wants to be, there's so many chiefs and not enough Indians. Let me just put it that way. Hallelujah. Or should I say, there's too many clowns and not enough circus. That's another way of saying it. Sorry. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 to 28. Jesus declares, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not with you," he says. "Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first must be your slave." Hallelujah. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to" what? "Serve. And give his life as a ransom for many." That's ultimate service right there, my friends. "Therefore, my kingdom-minded people, The Bible says the spiritual authority of Jesus is an authority not found in a position or title, but in a what? A towel and a basin. He showed them. He was watching them. He says, I need to teach the man some lesson here. You know, when I was preparing the message for Men's Father's Day, I realized that Jesus never came to change women. He came back to restore authority in men. That's why he picked 12 men. He says, man messed up, so men need to fix this up. And so I want to start the Father's Day message today. I thought, wow, this is important for us to understand. These are principles. It sets you free from self-righteous service. When you understand the towel and the basin, it sets you totally free from self-righteous service. We're going to differentiate between true service and self-righteous service. Hallelujah. This is going to totally transform you. So you can serve with genuine attitude and love for God, serving to please God only and not men. We want to please men. All of us want some kind of an applause from somebody or see what I've done here. Can you please tell everybody that I've done that? No, that's not true service. Hallelujah. Self-righteous service versus the true service. If true service is to be understood and practiced, it must be distinguished clearly from self-righteous service. Number one, self-righteous service is impressed with the big deal. That's self-righteous service. We all want the big deal. Nobody wants the small deals. Nobody wants to do the little least things. Everybody wants to do the big things. Hallelujah. It is done to impress people. It enjoys serving, especially when the service is a big deal. True service to God finds it almost impossible to distinguish the small from the large. True servant is often drawn to what? Small service. A true servant of God does little things. I was here in the African service yesterday, and I preached yesterday because the people wanted me to come and preach. And I saw something that I have not seen in too many churches. I saw true, genuine service, true, genuine people that honored people. And I thought, wow, I miss PNG. I miss PNG because we have a culture that we haven't lost. And people, we've messed it up now because it's now become a Wantok system culture. If you're my Wantok, I serve you. If you're not my Wantok, I don't serve you. But it's a natural thing for us in Papua New Guinea to serve people or to look after people. If you walk down a village in PNG, you'll be eating from one house to another because they'll call you to come and sit down and eat before you. If you're walking from here to this house to have lunch, you'll be full in the second house. And you might as well just go back and say, I'm so sorry. I was on my way to lunch, but I was eating there, and I had coffee there, and I drank tea there, and that's really the culture of the kingdom. See, we didn't ask for that culture. God gave it to us. It has always been there. And our people are so simple. And when I was here yesterday, I thought, God, we need simplicity in the church. We need simple people, but simple quality people. Hallelujah. That's my prayer for this church, is to have simple people. Hallelujah. Life is simple, so we need to be simple. True service to God finds itself almost impossible. Self-righteous service requires what? External rewards. Everybody wants something. If I do this for you, I need something. That's how the world thinks. Jesus was abolishing all that. He's saying, serve without asking for anything. Do things or give to somebody without expecting them to give you back or to pay back to you. Come on, let's live like that. If you truly want to see the blessing of God, start to be a giver without worrying about what should I get out of this. That's how the world thinks. Self-righteous service requires all this. It needs to know that people see and appreciate the effort. It seeks human applause. Bravo, bravo. Hallelujah. I work in the industry of music. People give me applauses all the time. Bravo, bravo. I'm used to that. But serving in a church is a totally different atmosphere altogether. I don't want to receive that. That's not for me to ask of. That's for God to do that. If I serve to please God, then my job is done. If God gives me an applause and says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest, that's what I serve to serve for. That's what you and I should be serving for. Hallelujah. True service only seeks God's approval and applause. Self-righteous service is highly concerned about results. It becomes bitter when the results fall beyond expectation. When somebody does something and it doesn't suit your expectation, you go, you start to suck on lemon juice. Hallelujah. It's my favorite, that lemon juice, because it's the only bitter thing that I can think of. We all like sweet stuff until lemon juice comes into play. True service delights only in the service. It just serves. Whether you're a man dressed up in a good clothes or you're a person dressed up in a rag, true service serves with no motive at all. And that's why this church was planted. A lot of people say, oh, we don't like to be hanging around with the homeless and the people that are smelly and they wear rugged clothes and they come to get clothes here. People complain about those things. We are not a church like any other church. Our vision and our goal is totally different from every other church. We have a totally different DNA in this place. Hallelujah. And so our DNA must not change. DNA doesn't change. You don't go and take on somebody else's DNA. DNA will always tell the truth. If you carry that DNA inside of you, that's you forever. Whatever you want to do, it change the way you look, change from male to female, whatever it is, your DNA doesn't lie. So stop thinking about these things. Hallelujah. True service. Self-righteous service is affected by mood. Oh, I feel like serving today. When you feel like serving, I said before, if God loves you because he feels like loving you, where are you going to be? There's not going to be a cross. There's not going to be Calvary. God didn't feel like loving you. He loved you. Even yet, while we were sinners, he died on that cross. So don't serve and don't submit and don't obey just because you're feeling that you need to do it. Feeling has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Principles do. Hallelujah. True service, however, never discriminates. True service stands on Jesus' words in Mark chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus said, anyone who wants to be first must be what? Very last and the servant of all. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. He just changed everything around. Totally transformed people's minds. True service should be a lifestyle to each and every one of us sitting in this room today. It's got to be a lifestyle. If worshiping God and praying and meditating and reading the word and submitting and obeying God's word is a lifestyle, then service must be a lifestyle. That's a discipline. Amen. We all fail in some areas in our life in service. But I pray this morning that when you receive this word, thank God. Where can I serve? Who can I serve? Is there anybody in this building that I can serve, that I can look after, that I can carry their burden, that I can pray with, that I can encourage, that I can walk with? Hallelujah. People are getting tired of self-righteous churches, my friends. They want true, genuine church of God, that when they walk in, they feel the love of God. First thing they should feel inside a church is genuine love of God. Not pretentious love and self-righteous love, real love. Hallelujah. I talked about the agape love of God before. It is not based on chemical reactions and feelings. It's based on principles. I love you because I love you. That's it. There's no reason why I love you. I just love you. Well, I love God. You know, I've been getting testimonies, an email that came from the Philippines, and Jan sent it to me, and I was so encouraged. I was sitting there thinking, wow, thank you, Lord. We think we're just another little insignificant church, But there are people checking our websites, looking into the words that are being preached and saying, Pastor, we have never heard anything like this before. And I was like, wow, this is so powerful. And they want teaching materials from everything that we've been preaching in this church. This is a little church in the Philippines. And the ladies that I wept when I was reading your going through your messages and listening to the, and then she says, have you got any teachings on this? And I thought, I will send everything that I've been teaching this church. I will photocopy it and I will send it. I said to Pastor Papi, I will come down and translate everything into French and teach it to the people. Hallelujah. Let's get some fundamentals right in the church first, before we start thinking about the big deals and the prophecies and the prophetic and all this stuff. You're still living on planet Earth, still breathing. You're here to carry the presence of the Holy Spirit. How can He change the world when you try to do everything else and not submit to Him? Hallelujah. There's a guy that rang me out of nowhere. I was in the studio. Rings me up, says, he says, Pastor Ben. I said, yeah. He says, I was looking for someone to pray for me. And he said, I've been Googling all these different churches and I've been checking their website, but he said, there's something about your church. And I was so humble. I was like, really? I was talking to him on an email. And I said, I rang him. And he said, can you pray for me? I said, sure, I'll pray for you. He said, I've been wanting people to pray for me, but I don't know. He said, somehow, God led me to your church. If people are starting to do that, you know, stop looking inside here. There are people watching us from outside. That's why they want real changed people. They want to see real church. What is happening inside of here? And people will come here because they're looking for a well. They want to drink. The wells of living water, that's what it is. They're looking for something. And if one person is ringing me like this and one lady is emailing me like this, something is happening in our church. Not because we're special, but because we preach the Word of God the way the Word of God should be preached. Straight. Hallelujah. If you try to seek after humility, you will not find it. This is really true. You don't go seeking for humility. Humility grows when you start to serve, when you start to do the list of the things in the kingdom of God. Humility starts to build up inside of you. You can't find it. You will have it right there, and then when you want to grab all of it, it goes away. Humility is not found by you seeking it. Humility is found when you truly serve in the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You find true humility when you learn to serve others, become a servant of all. Jesus knew that, and He said, be a servant of all. Hallelujah. When Jesus began to wash the feet of those He loved, Peter refused. Oh, I like Peter. Peter is a great guy, but he shoots his mouth off before everything else happens. He's so on fire for God that he just shoots himself sometimes. And when Jesus began to wash the feet, the first person to speak, would you believe, was Peter. Everybody else was like, oh, Peter again. Peter, would you shut up sometimes? He said, no, everybody wait. I'm going to say something here. He says, no, do not wash my feet. If you do that, then you have to wash, you know, pour water on me and wash me. Hallelujah. Some of us, when we read this, we thought, wow, Peter was so humble. When we start to read this, Jesus, when He was washing the feet, Peter says, I refuse for you to wash my feet. Jesus saw Peter's pride. If Peter's refusal may sound like humility to us, some of us may read this and say, oh, Peter's this really humble guy, you know. He didn't want his master to wash his feet. That was false humility. There was pride in there. Jesus was confronting Peter's concept of authority because many of us are like Peter. If we were masters, we wouldn't wash nobody's feet. None of us can think like that. If you were a master in your own house, would you wash somebody's feet? You wouldn't. Jesus destroyed that. It is an act of submission and service to allow others to serve us. Peter was putting on an act when he tried to do that. And two things happened. When I read that, I said, Peter, in the culture, if you don't wash your feet, you can't go and eat. You're dirty. So you stay outside until you get your feet washed. That's the physical side of it. And then Jesus showed the other side. There is a thing called common courtesy that we must all have. If someone wants to wash your feet, shut up and let him wash your feet. Because you do not know what is inside the guy's heart. He's doing something out of a service to God to wash your feet. So stop getting too prideful and say, no, let me wash your feet. You don't wash my feet, let me wash your feet. Shut up and let him wash your feet. There's a thing called common courtesy. In my culture, in Bougainville, when you come to my village, we wash your feet. As a sign of respect to you and welcome you into our land. We still do it to this day. They still wash feet. And I thought, wow, thank you, God. You still gave us a culture that is still there, that we truly show people respect. Every culture, there is a certain ritual that they do for you because it is a sign of respect and service to them. Missionaries understood the value of common courtesy. Before they preach the gospel, they must go into certain rituals of welcome or somebody giving them food or if somebody wants to dance for them or do something for them. Missionaries understood that. How do you expect to go and preach the gospel to a group of people and want them to hear you when you can't even listen to them? When you can't even submit to them and understand that they're trying to do something for you? Let's get this mentality of on fire for God and just going in there all guns blazing and disrespect the people of the land that have certain welcome ceremonies or whatever they want to do to you. Allow it to happen. Peter says, I become a Jew, or I become a Roman, or I become those in order for the gospel to be preached. Hallelujah. Paul. Washing feet is in my culture. Titus chapter 3 verse 2 says, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceful, gentle, showing all humility to all men. That's our calling. You humble yourself and serve people. I really love that service that I was here yesterday. And I thought, wow, this is so good. I miss my home. Because people truly show genuine respect and genuine love and genuine honor for people. Hallelujah. You know, they treat pastors like prime ministers in Papua New Guinea. If you're a Christian group that goes there, they treat you like something really higher than any politician that ever. They said if we treat politicians like that, and politicians have got the whole attitude of service wrong. They're supposed to serve us, not us serving them. A public servant is what? He serves the public. We all want to wear really nice clothes and people will put us on their chairs and carry us through the street and people singing. That's a wrong attitude. And so they say if we treat politicians like this, then let us treat the kingdom of God people like that. Pastors go to my country and get so totally blown away. Go, wow, we've never been served like this before. Not even in our own country. Because we understand honor. We understand service. We understand submitting. Hallelujah. And that's something that, I'm sorry to say, we've lost in this country. But the kingdom of God is saying, get it back. You are inside the kingdom of God. You may be from Australia, but you are a kingdom of God citizen. Think like a kingdom of God citizen. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy verse 3, chapter 3, verse 2. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-control, respectable, hospitable, and able to teach. Offering 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 9 says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Important, powerful scriptures. Timothy says, go before, beyond. Pastors, go beyond people to serve, to look after people. Hallelujah. We seem to think that people flock to churches because there is a wonderful prophetic move or there's this signs and wonders happening there. There's healing happening there. Let's go there. Churches don't just get built on signs and wonders and prophetic moves and all that stuff. People ask for signs to Jesus. Jesus said, I'm not giving you no sign. As a result of spiritual pride starts to creep in, people start to pick and choose who they want to talk to, who they should hang around with, their little own little cliquey groups happening inside the church, and I hate that. I rebuke that. If I see it happening in the church, I will confront it and rebuke it. Because that is not the kingdom of God mentality of having your own little cliquey groups. Hallelujah. These are the big deals that I'm talking about. And people love to follow big deals around like they did in the time of Jesus. Something big deal happening, they follow it. And when it stops, and when he started to teach the kingdom principles, they said, oh, your teaching is so hard. We just want to see signs and wonders. Show us signs and wonders. Show us healing. Give me a prophetic word. And we forget the small deals. Hallelujah. The small deal things, the great hospitality, great fellowship, people staying back to talk to each other, get to know one another, genuine love for God and each other, genuine submission to God and to each other, genuine obedience to God and to each other. Hallelujah. That's the small deal stuff. That's what this church should be like. This church was started, the fellowship started up there because we want people to just come and fellowship. Food brings people together. It's a food culture brings people together, regardless of what culture you're from. Hallelujah. Acts of true service is not only serving, but listening to others. We would do well to listen to others. Stop talking sometimes and listen to others. And then you'll train yourself to listen to God too when you start listening to other people. When you are a good listener, you learn to quieten and discipline your mind to listen to God. We are so anxious to give answers to people. When you're talking to people or counseling people, oh, you want to just talk. Instead of just, okay, you talk and I'll just have a listen. You know, you start to hear the Holy Spirit say, that's a problem there, there's a problem there, there's a problem there. And you go, okay, thank you, Holy Spirit. Now I can deal with it. If you talk while he's trying to talk, then how can you help him? And how can you hear God's voice to be able to help him? Bearing each other's burdens is a great service. Galatians chapter 2, chapter 6, verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Wow. Bearing each other's burdens is a service. Carry each other's burdens is a service. James chapter 2 verse 8, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbors as yourself, and you are doing right. But there is a fine line there, but my brothers and sisters, most of us too easily assume that all we need to do is decide to bear someone's burdens. And we just love bearing someone's burdens. And then before you know it, the joy of life started to fade. Because the person you're bearing the burden loves you to bear his burden all the time. There's a limit and there's a fine line in bearing someone's burdens. And some people like people to bear their burdens. Oh, I just want you to carry me everywhere. And, you know, and then you find yourself starting to get spiritually drained. Some people just like that. But there's a fine line there. There's genuine place where you can carry people's burdens. But not all the time. Hallelujah. Jesus, who bore the burdens of the world, says that, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if somebody is in the habit of always getting you to bear his burden, give him that scripture. Then go home and change your number. No, don't do that. Oh, that woke you up right there. Oh. I said, I know a good scripture to give you. Read this one. It says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, bye. Go home. Telstra, I want a new number, please. Change your address. No, don't do that. I'm just joking. Oh, lighten up. You're too serious here. And then there's word of advice is stay away from people like that. It's all for your own good. You carry the burden genuinely. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humbled in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Hallelujah. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and the risen King of all kings, is calling us to a radical self-denial ministry of what? Towel and basin. That should be a sign in this church here. A towel and a basin. That's it. That is the greatest service to humankind, is serving others and looking after each other. Looking after the widow, the homeless, the downhearted, the downtrodden, all these kind of things. That's really what we should be doing. That's what people are looking for, churches like that. When you truly do that, you're actually walking according to the kingdom of God principles. Such a ministry is easy when we truly carry the fruits of the Spirit in our hearts. I talked about the fruit of the Spirit yesterday. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. When you have those fruits, submitting, obedience, and serving is so easy. So easy. You can serve so easy because there's so much joy inside of your heart to serve, expecting nothing from nobody. To be great in the kingdom of God, you have to be a servant, and the least of all, learn to be a servant in the kingdom of God today, church. Hallelujah. That concludes, church, our series on discipline. Those are really good principles and fundamental a word that we should always remember. Go after the small things, and you build yourself up from there. Amen. Then you become great in the kingdom of God because you started from somewhere. Yeah. You know what to do. You know how it is to wash feet. You know how it is to serve people. Hallelujah. Both inwardly and outwardly. Start to apply those principles in your life, and the Holy Spirit will help you. Take you through all these steps, all these disciplines that we've talked about. Don't just think about the inward disciplines. Think about the outward disciplines as well. Hallelujah. Thank you, church. I'm done. That is our series. That concludes our series of Discipline in the Spirit. If you missed the other ones that we talked about, go back into the, go onto the iPod, what do you call those things? iTunes and podcast, iPod. Ever listen to them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, that, Lord, your word is now settling in the hearts of your people. Father, everybody sitting in this room today, they're here for a purpose. You brought them here for a purpose. And so we thank you, God. Lord, allow us to be people of service to each other. People that carry each other's, genuinely carry each other's burdens, oh God. Thank you, God, that we will look after each other. Watch over each other. Lord, be a servant to each other. Lord, not just to you, oh God, but to each other, Father. We thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. And we give you glory. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, be a servant of all. Hallelujah.